And then they saw me in a bra, and that was it.
What's going on, Pearl Jam nerds? You are listening to Single Podcast Theory. I'm Brad Blazek.
And I am Kate Cotton.
Kate motherfucking Cotton. What's Kate going on?
Motherfucking Cotton. That's like a thing now.
It is.
That's KFC.
KFC. Brad Lyons is not here today. He's, what is he doing? My wife was asking me and I'm like, I don't even know. I know he's going to Iowa. And he's driving with some kids. That's all I remember. But I know it's not.
Driving with his sister and her kids to a wedding in Iowa.
Oh, that's okay.
I pay attention.
I pay attention.
Yeah.
I just don't remember. I remember bits and pieces.
It doesn't count if you don't remember. I hate to break it to you.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry.
Well, we
miss you, Brad.
Yes, always.
Safe travels.
And bro. I want to give him a big thank you and a big hug for spending all that time editing the three-way episode that we did together, because I'm sure that was a bit of a doozy.
Last week's episode?
Yes.
That came out last Monday, late?
Yes. Yeah, a little bit late, and
Did he call you, like, in the middle of the night or, like, earlier on Monday morning? To get it downloaded? I know you were having issues downloading it.
No. I was convinced that I was going to get a call in the middle of the night, though, because I wasn't sure if I uploaded it properly. But he didn't say anything to me, so I assumed it was good.
It must have worked out, so.
Yes.
All right. Well, cool. So today, our episode is number 70, and we're going to be talking about...
That's a big number.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe it.
Me either.
70 weeks or 70 episodes virtually in a row. We've missed one or two here
over but you've made up for it because you've done 2 weeks in two episodes in a week before.
Yeah, we try, but we still get shit on.
No, relax, dude. If anyone's giving you shit, they don't deserve to listen to you guys.
Yeah, that's true. But I think I'm too sensitive.
I think you are too.
Taking it in the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But yeah, what's our episode about today, Brad?
We are talking about Pearl Jam's DVD, Live at the Garden, when they played in your beloved MSG.
Yeah, I was going to say that's perfect for me because I've been there before.
Were you there for this show in 2003?
Is that a serious question?
No, I know you weren't.
I motherfucking wish I was.
How old were you? Like 8? 10?
I was 11.
11. An 11-year-old Kate. What was an 11-year-old Kate Cotton doing in 2003?
That was the summer after I graduated 5th grade, so you know.
Graduated 5th grade? Is that a New York thing?
Yeah.
Who graduates 5th grade?
People who go to school.
I mean, okay.
What, you didn't have, like, a moving up ceremony when you were in elementary school?
No. I mean, kindergarten, and then you graduate from 8th grade, and then you graduate high school.
Did you go from kindergarten through 8? Were you in the K-8 school?
Yes.
That's why.
I went
through K-5, and then a 6-8, and then a 9-12 school.
Like a completely different building?
Yes.
A different school?
Yes, Brad.
That's weird.
What do you mean that's weird? That's like normal.
Yeah, but that's not, I mean, I don't know. This just seems, sounds weird to say I graduated 5th grade.
Yeah, I did. I got all my credentials. I learned cursive. I was able to multiply my times tables. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a big year for me.
I learned how to count, as we discussed earlier.
Yeah, up to 4.
When I was in school. Yeah. All right. Well.
Yeah. So should we start with some Pearl Jam story time, maybe?
We should.
Good evening. This is Storytellers. We are here to tell stories.
We just have friends up here that are listening to stories.
Have I got a little story for you?
This is the true story.
And I'm going to clap right now.
Okay.
To put it in.
That's what she said.
Okay. I don't know. If whatever. All right. So, Pearl Jam story time comes from... I don't know how he's going to edit that. So, I don't know. All right. Pearl Jam story time. This comes from Matt Bogard. Matt says, hey, hi, Brad and Brad. Been listening to Single Podcast Theory for over a month now and enjoy every episode. Also follow your postings on the porch, too. Your buddy Clint is hilarious. Enjoy hearing his thoughts as he's kind of a tiebreaker between the two of you. I got to mention the porch. I haven't really posted on the porch too much. That's the Pearl Jam's message board. Because I don't seem to get a lot of, I don't get like any feedback on there.
All right.
Should I pick it back up?
I don't know. I mean, why don't we ask the listeners what they think?
Yeah. I'll do, you know what, I'll post this on there and let's see what people say.
Okay. And let's also create a poll to see how many other people in the country have graduated fifth grade.
Okay. Oh, I'm from New York. That's how we do it.
Continue with your email, please.
Here's my Pearl Jam story. Been listening to Pearl Jam since 1991 when I first saw the Alive video on MTV. I was 18 years old at the time and ran out and bought the cassette tape of 10 the very next day and played it on repeat for weeks. At the time, I was working as a pizza delivery driver at an independent pizza chain. I was the only driver on duty during the day, so I had plenty of time to listen to 10 and goof around in the store when I wasn't making deliveries. I have a similar story. I used to deliver pizzas when I was like 17, 18, 19, and that's all I would do is listen to like talk radio and Pearl Jam.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's so cool. Mm-hmm. but I can relate to, wait a second. Is this Matt or Ian? That's weird. Sorry. Yeah, but look at the very bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Matt, Ian? Ian,
Matt? I guess we'll have to write back so we can figure that out. That makes no sense.
I don't remember the girl's name, but who does in these kind of stories? She was rather tall and slender with curly, sandy, blonde hair. She was a typical brown-skinned surfer girl who worked the cash register during the day when I was on duty. Oh, baby. I had one of those, too.
Oh, yeah, me too.
What was her name?
I don't know.
It was something with an A, I think.
Focus.
Oh, man. We constantly flirted back and forth all day, taking telephone orders and pizza and...
Folding pizza boxes.
Folding pizza boxes, thank you. Welcome. Being a naive, stupid 18-year-old guy, I never got up the courage to ask her out. Anita. Okay, sorry. I never got up the courage to ask her out or attempt anything beyond flirting. Looking back on it now, I may have been successful had I made the effort. Maybe. Anita. I wonder what she's doing these days.
God, keep reading.
Anyway, I was an angsty 90s teenager singing and screaming along to 10, not thinking too much about my love life. Songs like Release, Alive, Jeremy, and Evenflow were revelations to my young ears. I had finally found, quote-unquote, my band, my generation's Led Zeppelin or the Beatles. 4 years earlier, I bought the vinyl of Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction and loved it. But Pearl Jam was even more raw and sincere to me. I've been listening to Pearl Jam ever since. Versus is probably my favorite Pearl Jam album. I've got another story for about the first day I bought that one, but I'll save that for another time. I'll always remember late summer in 1991, delivering pizzas, listening to Porch and Garden, and thinking about that sweet surfer girl that got away.
Aww.
All the best, Ian.
Or Ian. Matt, we're not sure.
Ian or Matt, yeah. Yeah. This story like took me back because I was like, man, same thing. I was just out of high school, so I was 18. had like my first car that I bought with my own money. It was an 87 Camaro.
Cool.
And I delivered pizzas out of a fucking Camaro at 18.
Badass.
Oh man.
I bet the ladies were lining up at your door.
It was pretty. I was cool, man.
Oh yeah.
So.
That's anyway. A nice story.
Yeah. Thank you, Ian.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get into some emails, aren't we?
Sure.
Some more
emails.
That's
what we're up to.
Yeah. What do you got?
I have an email from Jeff. Excuse me. Hello, Brads. I had meant to write earlier about Yield, but had not gotten around to it. Yield is probably my favorite Pearl Jam album for a number of reasons. It's really when I fell in love with the band. But the main reason is something that you guys pointed out. This was their first real complete band album. Every member contributed something important to the record. And to me, it has Stone's two best songs, No Way and In Hiding, Mike's two best songs, Given to Fly and Faithful, and Jeff's best song, Low Light. And Brad B., I implore you to listen to No Way on a pair of really good headphones and say again that it doesn't do anything for you. If you say that, I probably won't believe you. By the way, guys, where are those SPT stickers? I don't know. Keep up the great work. Thanks for all you do. I'm still loving the show. I'll stop trying to make a difference. I'm not trying to make a difference. I'll stop trying to make a difference. No fucking way. Peace, Jeff K.
Peace.
Yeah.
Jeff, thank you.
Yes.
I have listened to Low Light on some headphones.
No, not Low Light.
What? Yeah.
No, he said No Way.
No Way. No Way. Yes. No Way. Sorry, I'm looking at the email, but yeah, No Way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a good song and it sounds good cranked up with some headphones, but I mean, it's just, I don't know.
Listen, we're all entitled to our opinion. Opinions can also be wrong.
Yeah, that's true. You know what they say about opinions?
They're wrong.
They're like assholes.
Oh God!
Everyone has one, and they all stink.
I've never heard that before. That's beautiful. Yeah, I'm gonna teach my kids that.
I just wanted Jeff to know. I did. I tried. It's just I'm not there yet. So
it's okay.
Stickers. You have maybe gotten them by the time this episode drops. You should, especially if you're in Smyrna. How do you say that? Smyrna. Yeah, if you're in Smirnoff, Tennessee, you probably got them by the time you're hearing this.
You sent them out?
I did.
Does that mean mine are on my way too?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And there's a special message on yours.
Ooh. I can't wait.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff. Geoff. I wonder if he hates if people call him that.
He probably does.
Okay. When I was in, I had a friend that spelled his name like that, and another friend of mine called him Geoff all the time. So now, whenever I see that, that's just how I say it.
Oh, all right. Well,
so
maybe you'll get an angry email about it.
Yeah, probably. All right. Paul Maisie writes in, and this is a special shout out to my Brodels and my Slinkies out there. Paul says, I'm newish to SPT, simultaneously current and playing catch up. I was so excited to listen to the you all right?
Sorry. Oh, was that really audible? I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. was so excited to listen to the Yield episode this past week. It is my all-time favorite album. Maybe one of these days I'll send the album review I wrote for a pop culture class I took a few years ago. I would read that.
Yeah, I would read that too.
So driving home yesterday, I went back and listened to the Lost Dogs Disc 1 episode. I laughed when Brad B. mentioned 311. You had to be referring to Gap and Let the Cards Fall from Enlarged to Show Detail. I was wearing a 311 t-shirt and a Pearl Jam jacket when that came on. I was inspired to write when 311 came up again during the Lost Dogs Disc 2 episode. So I've had this conversation argument with friends of mine. Quote, how can you be so passionate about two so different bands? Shit, man, I don't know, but I love Pearl Jam and 311. While Pearl Jam never will be dethroned as my favorite band, here's a few reasons I love 311 too. They're very diverse and extensive catalog, rock, rap, and reggae, accessible shows. It's not incredibly difficult to get on the rail at a 311 show. That is very true. It's way easier than a Pearl Jam show. 311 Day. Do you know what 311 Day is, Kate?
No.
Cotton? Mm-hmm.
No, I do not.
Every other year, they have a 311 day. And do you know what day it's on?
I'm going to guess March 11th.
Yes. I mean, 311 day is March 11th every year. But the quote-unquote 311 day concert is every other year.
Why every other?
Because they play like 60 or 70 songs in one show.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And what they did the last two times, they actually played on March 10th and 11th, and they played like 45 songs both nights.
Whoa.
Like, yeah. It's awesome. It's just like, could you imagine if Pearl Jam did that? Like a Pearl Jam day?
My head would visibly explode. Like,
yeah.
Burst into smithereens.
Yeah. It's a good time. They have a cruise. 311 cruise.
So weird.
The vibe of 311 fans and shows, it's very like, yeah, man, this is it's similar. It is similar to Pearl Jam.
Yeah, but
songs are generally free of political opinions. Those few that are there are pretty well veiled. And The Hive, which I don't even know. I guess I'm a bad 311 fan. I think he's referring to their a studio is called The Hive. But I'm not that last point, you lost me.
I don't have those facts for you either.
You don't know about The Hive?
Sorry, man.
I will freely admit the 311 sound is much more of a niche. How do you say that? You're smart. Is it niche or niche?
Well, niche is like the French way to say it, but you could say it in a niche. Oh no, don't do that. That's not correct.
311 sound is much more of a niche. And there aren't a lot of passive opinions about them. It's generally love or hate. He's got that right. Brad B., you positive vibe merchant, you. Keep rocking the Trace Onse. Thanks, Paul.
Did you include this email? Because last week that other guy tore you apart.
No.
He just needed a little bit of an ego boost again.
No, what are you talking about?
That guy Vince.
Oh.
Who said he doesn't want to be your friend?
No, I read this because he was going on and on about 311, and I don't think Lions would have let me read this, so I saved it for your episode.
I'm pretty indifferent, so I thought it was cool.
You said, I think you told me, you like, you don't hate 311.
No, right? I don't hate 311 at all. I enjoy their music that I hear on the radio very much. Yeah. Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. Cool.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Paul.
Paul's down.
Yes.
The worst joke ever. Okay. What do you got, Kate Cotton?
I have Martin Papish, right?
Yes.
Oh, this is a short one.
Yeah.
Martin says, hey, Brad, thanks so much for running a hilarious podcast. What? I don't know what this
seems,
says.
Seems.
Okay. Thanks so much for running a hilarious podcast that seems incapable of running itself into the ground. Oh, it's still young, my friend. We'll see. I'm sitting at Gas Monkey in Dallas waiting for the start of the Nine Inch Nails show up the street, having a fantastic introverted time, and Black just came on over the stereo. It's crazy to think that I've always been a Pearl Jam fan, but now that I've spent over 100 hours listening to you two swoon over their works, they'll always mean more to me than just that great band that was huge when I was a toddler. Keep on keeping on. I hope you had good Thanksgivings. Martin Papish.
Thanks, Martin. I did have a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah. He didn't ask me, but I had a good one, too.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he hopes in spirit that you had one.
Ooh, I'm like the SPT spirit.
Yes.
I just hover above both of you at all times.
Yeah, Thanksgiving. God, that was what? That's almost a month ago now.
No.
3 weeks?
Yeah, not even. I don't know. I don't want to think about time. I get too upset how fast it goes by.
Oh, I was watching a documentary about It's a Wonderful Life.
Mm-hmm.
And in the very beginning, you know, when they just show like the stars in the sky and it's supposed to be like
angel or whatever.
The angels talking to what's his name?
Oh, please don't do this.
No, I got it. Wait, it's what is his name? He's like the main fucking character in the
Jimmy
movie.
Jimmy Stewart?
No, besides him, the angel. Clarence.
Oh.
So the angels are talking to Clarence. And one of them says, like, at exactly 6:32 Earth time tonight, you know, George Bailey. And I started dying laughing. I'm like, Earth time.
So like, it wasn't just coming out of your brain. It was a subconscious thing.
Yeah, I think it was. Because that's like one of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah, that's a good one.
What? Classic.
What?
I just remembered.
Oh, no.
They're literally playing it at the theater here in town tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry. You can leave. I'll take it from here.
Cut this short. What? I can't believe I missed it.
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Anyway. Yeah, I love that movie. Maybe they'll show it again before.
I'm sure they will. It's still early.
Christmas. Yeah. Christmas is in what, like 2 weeks?
Don't remind me. I cannot handle that thought at all.
All right, where were we?
I just finished reading Martin's Funky Donkey email.
Yeah. Oh, Nine Inch Nails. Are you like Nine Inch Nails? You know them at all?
A little bit.
Man, they're great.
Yeah, I've heard.
I saw them once in Florida. Like 1999, right before I moved to Alabama. It was awesome. Perfect Circle opened like when they first started out.
Uh-huh.
That was the Nine Inch Nails puts on a fucking fantastic show. So
yeah.
I bet Martin had a great time.
I bet.
Okay, let's move on.
One
next
more
email. Next, yes.
We can
hi,
do
Brian.
This.
This is Neil Parmar. Parmar. Hi, Brad and Brad. Been tempted to email in for a while now, but I haven't been able to find the right words until today. So here goes. First and foremost, I want to thank you both for doing this podcast. It's so great to hear two guys nerd out over the band and discuss topics in depth. You have a great knack at being informative and informal at the same time. So as much as I'm thinking, that's interesting, I didn't know that, I'm just as much laughing out loud at the banter between you both. I got to say, that is a really, that makes me feel really good. That's like a really good compliment that, you know, I just feel like I'm dumb and like goofing off the whole time. So if he's getting something out of it at the same time, that's pretty cool.
I think we all are.
Unfortunately, I haven't been able to listen to a great deal of episodes due to work and life commitments, but I've managed to listen to all the album episodes and a few others here and there. Each episode I have listened to has been fantastic. The recent Yield episode was exceptional.
I agree.
Great to hear. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Great to hear that album getting the love it deserves. As I write this email, it's a rainy, cold Saturday morning here in Birmingham, England. And I was partaking in the exciting household chore that is washing the dishes.
My fave.
When I decided I want to write to you guys. Whilst washing up, I was listening to Lost Dogs on Shuffle. I've listened to that album a million times, but I had a realization during Hard to Imagine that being a Pearl Jam fan is something that I am so grateful for. I mean, a slew of absolute killer tracks came on during the Shuffle listening of Lost Dogs. Sad, Fatal, All Night, Wash, Let Me Sleep, before I got to Hard to Imagine. Just left me thinking, how can these songs be B-sides and outtakes? How incredible is this band?
They're too incredible.
It is. It's so incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, any other band would be happy with just those songs as like their main album, you know? And this is the shit they like threw out.
I know.
So he's right. They're incredible.
Mm-hmm.
The choices Pearl Jam have made throughout their career have made it an absolute joy to be a fan of theirs, particularly things like having a different set list every night, 3+ hour shows, being activists with what they believe in, working with an awesome director to create an awesome documentary, and the list goes on. I'm very lucky to have seen Pearl Jam 5 times and seen Eddie by himself once also. The last time I saw the band was live. The last time I saw the band was in July of this year at the O2 Arena in London. Best show I've seen yet. It's amazing that this band keeps getting better live. Was that when he got sick, or was that?
No, that was the makeup show that I heard was absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm trying to say is that I am so grateful that I found this band and became swept away / obsessed with them. Your podcast fuels my fandom further, and because of that, I feel like I'm a fan. I'm more of a fan than ever now. So thanks again. Keep up the great work. Love and peace, Neil. Birmingham, jolly old England.
Pip-pip cheerio.
Yeah. Thanks, Neil.
Yeah, thanks, Neil.
That London show, I think I don't know if I watched that one like on Facebook or not. But I think that was one that I didn't watch.
Those were tricky to watch, right? Because they were like,
I think those were the ones that are like real late. Start real late. No,
the other way around. Like you'd be in the middle of a work day.
Oh, okay, yeah, I was probably at work that day.
Yeah,
and couldn't listen to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I heard because that show. It was scheduled for June 19th, which is my birthday, and I remember thinking when that show was canceled, like, thank fucking God.
Oh yeah.
I didn't plan a trip because I thought about that with John. I was like, maybe we can do like a, but so, thankfully it worked out for some people. I'm sure it was like it really like messed with a lot of people and stuff.
Yeah.
I heard that July show. I haven't listened to the boot for it in full. I've heard some of it, on Pearl Jam Radio, but. I've heard that show is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm pretty jealous that he got to be there. I'm jealous of anybody that went to any show that I wasn't at.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially like the super, like the, what do you call it? Like the album shows or something super special.
Yeah.
Yeah, the O2 one, because it was a makeup show, I think they
they
gave it a little extra
juice. He was like, fuck it, we're just going to play all night, and it's going to be intense.
Yep. All right, well.
That's it.
And thank you for all the kind words. Like, this dude really...
Yeah, he likes you. I think he might have a crush on you guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, it happens. all right, well... That's email.
Yeah, we did it.
All right. Before we keep going, are you still recording?
I am still recording, Brad.
Okay. Are you like watching it right in front of your face the whole time?
I am actively watching it.
Okay.
I am traumatized yeah. from last time.
Okay, good.
Yep.
All right. So that was email. And if you would like to send us an email and maybe we'll read it on the show, you can always write in to singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. We read every single email and I try to respond to them. And if you're real lucky, you'll get a reply from Lions.
Yeah, that's rare.
It's rare. So if you've got one gold, from Lions or you get one here in the future, you should feel very special.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get one from me, you should feel special.
But also feel like everybody else.
I do. We read every one of them, mm-hmm. but I try to reply to as many as I can. And we try to read some, you know, I shouldn't say anything. God, cut that out.
It's amazing how easily sidetracked you are.
I know.
Send an email to singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. Where else can they find us, Brad?
Yes. Facebooks. We're on the Twitters, Instagram. And just punch in Single Podcast Theory and you'll find us.
Yeah.
And where can people find you, Kate Cotton?
That's so weird that you just said that. Because I was going to just like jokingly plug my own Instagram.
Right. Yeah, do it.
Sure. My Instagram is, it's weird spelling. So I'll have to spell it out for you guys. It's at Katherine Adair. It's KathRineAdair. On Instagram, or you could probably, if I'm like tagged in some stuff, on the Single Podcast Theory Instagram, so you could find me there as well. And I'm also on Twitter,
at Kitty Cat or something.
No, I changed it. because of you, I'm pretty sure.
I shaved you out of your 12-year-old Twitter handle.
Yes, I made it when I was like
Kitty Cat with a K.
It was actually Kit Kate.
Yeah.
But whatever. No, it's Kate Adair now. So whatever.
Your married name.
Yeah, my mature Twitter name.
Right. Yeah. You can also, if you think the show has value and you can afford to do it, you can check us out on Patreon. But if you can't, that's fine too. The show is free. It's always going to be free. But there's some cool stuff on there. We've got like stickers and t-shirts and stuff like that.
So yeah, I finally found my Single Podcast Theory t-shirt buried at the bottom of my t-shirt pile.
Oh, good. I was worried. I'm glad you took so much good care of it.
Whatever.
Yeah, so if you want a t-shirt so that you can put at the bottom of your pile of t-shirts, go to patreon.com and
slash.
I think it's slash,
Single
Podcast. Just look. It's 2018.
Yeah, people can figure out
where to find us. You know,
that's a valid point. All right.
I mean, I don't even know how to find us. Like, I don't even know the technical addresses. Like, we're at www.
I don't need you spelling out complete URLs right now.
Right. HTTP.
Please stop.
://
No
/.
Make it stop.
Okay, www.singlepodcasttheory. We don't have a singlepodcasttheory.com. That's the only thing we don't have.
Where is Lyons right now? I need his help.
Am I rambling? Am I just going
I need
on
to lasso
on?
You in.
Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, lasso the moon.
Is this episode already 4 hours? Because it feels like a lifetime.
Come on, that's like the best movie ever.
Oh, it's a great movie, I agree. But that's not what this podcast is about.
Okay. Oh, we should do that. Oh, we should my do God. It. It's a Wonderful Life podcast.
No, thanks. I already have a Genuine podcast lined up with somebody else that I need to focus my time on.
Do you really?
No.
Oh, well, you just trying to get away from me.
This person knows who they are. All right.
Wait, so do you or not?
No, I'm kidding. I would never make a podcast about Genuine.
What? The rapper?
Yes.
Did you say that? I must have missed that.
I did.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking about Zuzu's Petals, and I just totally missed out.
Okay.
All right, so where are we? We going to talk about Live at the Garden?
I guess DVD? So. Yeah, I'm ready to.
Why hasn't Pearl Jam put out their DVDs on Blu-ray yet? That's what I want to know.
I have no idea. I've never watched anything on Blu-ray.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
No, yeah. I've only ever watched DVDs, and then the world moved on to streaming services, so I watched everything there.
Okay, so if you watch something streaming,
mm-hmm.
So you could tell a difference in the quality, right, of a DVD versus a streaming show?
Well, it depends.
On what?
Like, what do you mean the quality?
Like the picture quality. Like Netflix is, I think, they've gone like all HD. Mm-hmm. So if you're watching something.
Oh, so it's better on streaming is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what Blu-rays are like.
Oh, okay.
So wouldn't you want to watch Pearl Jam Live at the Garden on like crystal clear Blu-ray?
Yeah, I would love to, but.
Okay.
I don't have a Blu-ray machine, whatever they're called.
Oh my God, you're like an old lady. I've never seen a Blu-ray player.
Yeah, I haven't.
Machine?
I haven't.
That's funny. Yeah. All right. Well, you're from New York. Mm-hmm. You're a young, hip, single lady in your 20s.
Uh huh.
Yet you've never seen a Blu-ray machine.
Nope. That's a fact. My
God. That is weird.
I guess so. It's also weird that I graduated fifth grade, apparently.
Forgot about that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into it.
Okay. I'm ready.
Do you have some facts?
I do have a few. They're not like super duper facts, but I personally didn't watch the DVD because I don't have a DVD player.
You don't have a Blu-ray machine or a DVD machine?
No, I have neither. So I found it on YouTube because it's available on YouTube.
Right.
The quality is not great. I can only imagine. I don't recommend. I mean, it's great. Like, the audio is fine, but the visual is, it's very blurry. But, you know, I could still see Ed's face, and that's all that matters. So I watched it on YouTube. If anybody hasn't seen it and they don't, like, have the time to go find the DVD or whatever, you could just easily watch it on YouTube. It was recorded from a live show at Madison Square Garden in New York City on July 8th, 2003. Eddie had short hair at this point in time.
I love that that's the first thing.
That's how I define Pearl Jam. What Eddie is it?
The thing is when I popped it in today and started watching it, mm-hmm. my wife was sitting here, and as soon as they showed him, she said, "I gotta say, I like the clean cut Eddie."
Yeah, he's handsome.
The
as
short
hell.
Hair. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, the only other fact that I pulled from the internet is that it was part of their first tour with Boom.
Yes.
I don't know what else you might have.
Just that it was released. The DVD was released November 11th of 2003. This was the first of two shows at Madison Square Garden. And this was, according to setlist.fm, this was only their second time playing at MSG, which I was kind of surprised.
Ever?
Yeah.
Wow.
They played in 98 and then 2003.
That kind of makes sense. Because they went through all those early years where they were fighting Ticketmaster and stuff, where they were playing all the weird venues and... Before that, I don't know if they would have been big enough. Well, they probably were big enough, but they wouldn't have played at the Garden only after 10 or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
So, it makes sense.
I don't know. I guess I thought they'd play there before. But this show is also available. It's one of the bootlegs. You know, they started putting out bootlegs. I think it was 2000 was the first year.
Mm-hmm.
So this is available. I know it's on it's on Apple Music. So it's probably on Spotify and all that stuff.
Oh, cool.
So if someone wants to check it out, it's, let's see what else. I don't know. That's probably about it.
Yeah.
It's two discs. There are
bonus features, which I didn't get to see because I don't have the DVD.
They're kind of like, what do you call it? I don't know.
Well, I know one of the bonus features is Matt Cameron. There's a few songs where you could watch the show from Matt Cameron's perspective.
The Matt Cam.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Matt Cameron. That's stupid.
WNBC. The Matt Cam is amazing.
I'm sure it is. As a drummer. I gotta find that.
It's really, it's really cool to watch. And I think it's, I can't remember what songs are on there. Crown of Thorns was one. Mm-hmm. You Are was one.
Oh, cool.
And there's two or three other songs.
Okay.
But it's basically a camera is set up under his hi-hats. So it's from his left side, and you can see him playing, and it's cool.
I'll have to find out if that's on YouTube as well.
Yeah, go on YouTube and just search Matt Cam. Okay. You probably, because they did that on the touring band DVD also.
Oh, okay. Oh, they did it on both. All right.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk overall. Overall, what did you think of this show? And then we'll get into some track by track.
I think it's a great show. I mean, to me, it's special that it's at the Garden because the city isn't my hometown, but the Garden is kind of a home venue for me. It's where I've seen a lot of concerts. It was actually where I saw Pearl Jam for the first time. So it was cool to look back and, you know, to 15 years ago when they performed there. I don't know. I thought the energy of this show was pretty incredible. I mean, the last show that we talked about together was Drop in the Park. So not too much can really compare to that kind of energy. But, you know, this is 12, 11 years later. So, but I am a fan of, well, you know me, I'm like kind of newer, so I haven't listened to a lot of Boots and stuff yet, but I actually did, and this was unintentional, it's just a coincidence, within like the last week or so, I listened to two 2003 bootlegs. I listened to the State College one and the Mansfield one. They're two longest shows, I guess. And and I just remember thinking, listening to those, I was like, holy shit, like these 2003 shows are awesome. And who, I don't know, someone wrote that in an email that we read on last week's episode, and I agreed. I was like, something, I don't know what it is about these 2003 shows, but I think Ed's voice is still like, I mean, Ed's voice is still awesome, but it doesn't, he still has that like really raw, deep, like throaty, you know, scratchiness in his voice that he can really sustain, and that he still really has that here, and it's really fucking awesome to watch.
Yeah,
the 2003 shows are pretty great. I don't know what was going on with them that they were like willing to put on show, because this show too, I know they went past, I mean, I know they go past their allotted time quite often, but that is something that they mention at the end of this. And with the State College, that show was what, like 40 songs?
Yeah, or something. Yeah,
and Mansfield was like 45 or something nuts like that.
It's, they're up there.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I loved it. I didn't. I don't. I can't really think of anything that like really stood out as like a moment or anything. But I could watch them play all day. And watching them at the Garden for me is special. So I'm glad I finally sat down and watched it.
Well, I will be honest with you, Kate.
Oh, boy.
I don't feel the same way.
Oh, shit.
I mean, it's a good show. It's a great show. But it's not like, I don't feel like this is anything like special about this show. And the set list is kind of all over the place.
Well,
it just never gets like, it never gets like a flow going to it.
No flow state.
You know what I mean? Yeah, the flow, their flow state was off that night.
I could kind of agree with you on like the set.
And we'll get into it list. as we go song by song, but that's just overall. But I mean, for me, there's one insane moment, like major, like it's up there with him jumping off the rig.
Really?
The camera rig. Yeah.
Are you gonna tell me now, or are you gonna wait till we get to it?
I don't know. What do you want me to surprise you? I'll surprise you.
Oh, okay.
Or no, tell you?
I don't care.
It's I think I've talked about this before, but during Do the Evolution.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
When the stage is shaking.
When he comes back and he's like, this has never happened for anyone else before. Yeah, we can talk about that later.
Yeah, all right. But that moment sticks out. I watched that a lot. Just that I watched the Evolution from the show a lot.
Good version of it. I took a mental note of that.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's just,
well, you know what's interesting about that is because I wrote this down, that this set list is very Riot Act heavy, which makes sense.
Oh yeah,
because it's 2003. Right. And I know that that's like not your favorite. It's like easily your least favorite, right?
Yes, but I will say that most of the Riot Act songs sound fucking awesome live.
So maybe you're like in a place where you feel that Riot Act songs, like a lot of Riot Act songs inside of a set list doesn't flow well.
Yeah, you could be right.
Is that a possibility?
But the performance of the songs are awesome.
Individually.
I mean,
they're really good. Yeah.
But the way the set list just, I don't know. I mean, we'll get into it.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, let's get into the set list.
Okay.
So you start the show, and maybe you can walk us through some of the New York stuff that's going on before the show starts.
the montage at the beginning.
Yeah.
I don't really remember. I just remember. I don't know. There is. Well, there's the police officers on the horses, which I took note of.
Oh.
Jeez. I don't know. It's just New York City. It's, you know. I didn't know I was supposed to take notes on the opening montage.
Well, they're playing Arc, like the tape of Arc, which is how the show opened.
Mm-hmm.
And they're showing just like, you know, black and white footage of like the Statue of Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the Chrysler Building? Is that the building?
I don't remember.
Is that the name of that?
I don't remember which one they show, Chrysler or Empire State Building. Kate,
did you watch this?
I did.
Okay.
I swear to God. But I didn't. I was like, okay, we're doing a show about Pearl Jam, so I'm going to focus on the Pearl Jam parts of this.
You live in New York City.
However, what I will say about the beginning, it does feel special because it's all in black and white, and that song is playing in the background, which is a very moving song, and this is pretty close to post 9/11.
First time they've been back since 9/11.
Exactly. And it's, you know, and he does mention it in the show later on, and
right,
I don't know, that song makes you feel a certain kind of way, and pairing it up with visions of the city in black and white without the Twin Towers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure when that came out, that was moving for a lot of New Yorkers, and but you know, it's the city. If any of you out there haven't been to New York City, you should come visit. It's a pretty fun place.
I need to come there.
Please do.
Oh, maybe they'll tour.
Maybe. Just maybe.
That ticket is always, like, really hard to get.
I'm sure it is.
Like, all the 10 Club members, that's, like, for the lottery, like, the ticket lottery, mm-hmm. that's, like, everyone wants to go to New York City.
I bet.
So.
I believe it.
You got connections, though, right?
Mm. Yeah, totally.
Okay, good. all right, so they open with Love Boat Captain. Any thoughts on Love Boat Captain?
Oh, I thought you were going to clap.
I don't know.
No, I mean, I would say for the first, like, few songs, I don't have many comments on any of them. I know I love Love Boat Captain. I know you're not a huge fan of that song. I think it's I think it's a really cool song to start with when he changes the lyrics to Let the Show Begin.
Yeah, and coming out of Arc into Love Boat Captain is pretty cool.
And I just love how that song has a good beginning show vibe, because it starts slow and then it builds and then it's slow and then it builds and then they go into Last Exit. Right. And they really pick it up from there, which is kind of different than how they do it now, where they start slow for about maybe like 3 to 4 songs and then pick it up and it's more of a wave. This just kind of busts right in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only thing I wrote about Last Exit is Mike's guitar solo. Like, the tone of his guitar sound is just so badass.
Oh, he's always badass.
It's
kind of
like this, like, it's like this, like, I don't even know how to describe it.
I have to actively stop myself from writing notes about Mike on every single song.
It's
the same thing every time. Like, he fucking blows my mind.
He's so awesome. Well, some of these songs really didn't do anything for me, except, like, when Mike starts killing it, you know?
That's true.
But, yeah. All right, so Last Exit, and then we go into Save You.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, I noticed that Stone does the solo.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, we were talking about last week.
Yeah, I noticed, you know, I noticed, like, that in a later song, but I don't remember it from this one.
Yeah.
All right.
Save You. I love that. That's a Riot Act song.
Yeah, it is. I love that song so much.
Yeah, so do I. So do I.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we've said a million times, I don't hate Riot Act. It's just one of my...
You don't hate anything Pearl Jam. I know that.
No, right. Yeah. But the songs that I love on Riot Act, Save You is definitely one of them.
Oh, yeah. Big time. How do you feel about Green Disease, which comes next?
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it a lot. And... this is, I think this is the first song that Ed starts playing guitar, and he's got a red SG.
Mm-hmm.
Such a fucking, like, I love that guitar. It's a cool looking guitar. It's like metal.
Yeah.
You know?
It's because Ed's cool.
Well, yeah. Clean cut. I don't know if I don't really swoon over short haired Eddie. Oh,
man. All right. Well, that's your loss.
I did like that there's, you know, Pearl Jam's kind of known or not known for their light show. Like, they don't have a real big light show, but it's cool during this song.
Everything's green.
Like, Everything's green. Yeah, yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's pretty cool how they, you know.
Well, their lights in the recent tour were fucking awesome.
Yeah, the last couple tours, they have kind of kicked it up a little
bit. There's like brick wall pieces behind them and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Pardon me. Yeah, I didn't write too much about that. And then we go into, so like, that's three songs. Three out of the first four are a Riot Act.
Yeah, no. Oh, yeah. yes.
Bitch,
sorry.
Don't tell me no. I was thinking, don't make me question myself.
But yeah, then we go into like, you know, they start out slow, then three fucking rockers. And then again, like the fifth song in should be something kind of fast or heavier. And they go into In My Tree. Just like bring it down, man.
I don't think that song brings it down at all. I think that like it weighs heavy and it's like it's deep and it really gets people going. Mm. When he rises up to the it chorus.
It does have a nice build up. But
I could see your point of view on that. I understand it, but I don't agree.
Okay. Well, Boom has his little mini solo.
Yeah, that's what I wrote.
Which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Did you?
Well, look at us writing the same notes again.
Yeah, exactly. all right, then we go into Crop Duster.
Yep.
Which, again, it's just like a little mid-tempo, you know.
Yeah, but there are already six songs in. Like, I mean, they're not going to, like, not every song can be the same tempo. Six back to back to back.
Wrigley Night 2.
Yeah. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing, but like it's not always how it is.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Like I said, the flow state is just off in my mind.
All right. That's okay.
There should have been, I don't know. I think it should have been a little bit faster, and then kind of start slowing down.
Yeah.
But did you notice that Eddie was like singing the second verse to
back? With his, yes.
Yeah. Oh,
that's the only thing I wrote.
Back to the crowd.
He did that for, he did that with Last Exit also. I took note of it.
Okay.
The second song. I thought he was just singing with his back to the crowd, but at MSG they have the whole place filled.
So he's
assuming he's singing to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this song is, at this time in 03, they played it a bunch, but since then it's only been played like a handful of times since that.
Actually, now that I'm looking at this again, I probably would take Crop Duster out of the set list.
Mm.
Like looking what it's sandwiched in between.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't notice it at the time I was watching it, but looking at it now where I'm not watching it live, I can see why.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's performed fine. It's a good song. But in this slot, it just, I don't know. I'm probably going to repeat myself the whole time because they're just kind of, it's just kind of up and down every song on the set list.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Well, after... So... Yeah, I was... No, go ahead.
I was going to say that at this point, Eddie kind of, like, addresses the crowd. And he gives, like, a... He says, like, pardon my manners. Like, hello, good evening. And then he gives, like, the New York version.
How the fuck you doing?
Yeah.
He wrote, you can have manners in NYC if we're in New York City. How the fuck you doing?
Yeah.
I mean, you even have manners in New York City. How the fuck you doing? That's what it is.
So, yeah, I like... Eddie, he should have done like a... good evening. Right? I think Andrew Dice Clay played Madison Square Garden. That was like a big deal.
Yeah.
Like for a stand-up comedian to play... at a place that big.
I guess so.
You were probably a big fan of his, weren't you?
No.
No. And then
what's next?
Then we get Evenflow.
Yes.
Now I'm in.
Yeah.
Now I am fucking in.
This is a pretty epic Evenflow, I must say.
It is. Eddie puts on his classic crazy intense face. Stone is doing his like with his neck.
Yeah.
Like his groove neck. And then Mike, I mean, come on. Mike just fucking kills
his solo is fucking 5 minutes long.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
And it's kinda like classic Evenflow fucking blistering insane solo for like 2.5 minutes. Mm-hmm. But then they go into this like shuffly, like I don't know how to describe it, like kind of like a noisy rock solo. I don't know if that makes sense, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like this, like kind of like the band is all doing this little like shuffle kind of thing.
Yeah, but then doesn't he pick it up again?
Yeah,
he does.
And then he starts like noodling around. Yeah, it's just like
it just so keeps going and going, and every second of it, there's not 1 second where you're thinking about taking a piss break.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. I understand. You've seen the band 50 times.
Yeah.
You need a piss break. But at the same time, like, you're missing this insane solo thing. And I think there's a few songs, it seemed like, this show in particular, I think Rearview Mirror, we'll get to it here in a minute, but it seemed like they extended some stuff more than they normally do, you know, and this was definitely one of them, Evenflow. I noticed too, I don't know if you saw this, but at one point their camera was like in the crowd and some dude like fucking double middle fingers.
No, I didn't notice that.
During the solo. I'm like, what's that about?
I don't know. He's being cool, right? He's being edgy.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's what it is.
He's like, fuck the man. I'm with you, Eddie.
Yeah.
Fuck the man. double fingers. And also, this was, Mike had taken his jacket off, and you could see his like, bare arms. Mm-hmm. And he's not, you know, 15 years ago, he wasn't completely sleeved up with tattoos.
Yeah, that's true.
So, it's like his forearms are completely bare.
Yeah, Mike does, I hate to say it, but he does not look great here.
Yeah, he's...
I mean, I think he might be on, I don't know what point in his recovery or whatever, but...
He wasn't completely there yet.
No, and I'm glad that he did, because I'm glad he's still around for us today.
Totally, yeah, you know? Totally.
But...
He
looks, it doesn't matter how he looked, because he days. Played, he was like the fucking star of this
fucking,
show.
Yeah, so. Fantastic.
Yeah. All right.
His flow state was fucking flowing.
Always.
Even flowing.
Dad jokes.
All right. And then again, we go into the John Lennon cover of Gimme Some Truth, which is just like Eddie playing the guitar by himself for the first, the first verse.
Maybe what they should have done was move Evenflow like later in the set list. I think that's maybe because maybe we could have done Crop Duster and not that this matters. Like I'm editing the set list like it's going to happen tomorrow. But have Crop Duster go in to Give Me Some Truth, and then he does his whole speech afterwards, and then do Evenflow like way later when it starts to pick up again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like more around like Lucan and Grievance or something like that.
I guess if I'm going to be nice, I should say it's an interesting set list.
Yeah. It's not a bad set list.
No, not at all.
No such thing.
And I just want to say he changes the lyrics from Tricky Dicky to Georgie Porgy.
Mm.
Son of Georgie Porgy.
Mm, interesting. I wonder why.
The Lennon. And then he kind of gives a speech about, you know, this is the first time they've been back since that day. And he's talking about, I think they were overseas. Didn't he mention they were, were they overseas?
No, he says that we are on the other side of the country. I think they were home.
Okay.
If I could just say, as a representative of the group, I just want to tell you, this is the first time we've been here since that big day about a year and a half ago. Seemed to change everybody. And we were on the opposite coast in Seattle, and everybody felt it, and we felt it. And we had just been through Denmark the year before. And we certainly knew what it felt to see loss of life and to feel it deeply and know how many people each life affected. So I'm taking the opportunity now, a year and a half later, since it's the first time we've been back proper, just to tell you we were all thinking about it. We think you handled yourselves so great. And this song's about personal safety and the feeling of being secure and even free. It's called I Am Mine.
And then they go into I Am Mine.
Well, yeah, but before, well, he says something about how it's the first time he'd been there. He doesn't say anything specific about it, but he does say, he talks about how he thinks that, like, all of New York handled themselves, quote unquote, so great. And then I love what he says, and I've heard this on Pearl Jam Radio before. I didn't realize it was from this show. Before they go into I Am Mine, he says that this song is about personal safety and feeling secure and maybe even free or something, he says. And then they go into this song, and literally, I love this song so much. And to hear him describe it in that way, it just, like, validates every feeling that I've ever felt for this song, and I just fucking love it. What's your opinion?
Well, good. I'll defer to you since you love it.
Yes.
And I don't.
I know. And I know a lot of other people out there agree with me, even though you don't.
Yeah, and that's great. Yeah.
It just means so much to me. Like, that's what the song's all about, and what life is all about is, you know, being with yourself and loving who you are, and, like, what else do you really have if you can't do that, you know?
And all I could think about was Randy Sobel and his single podcast theory intro.
Such an asshole.
Which the pirate sea shanty.
Yes, I'm aware. I've heard it.
Okay.
I love it, but it has not ruined the song for me in any way. Okay. I won't let it.
Good.
And then after that, they go into Low Light, which the only thing I really wrote was that it's pretty interesting to see that song played later in the set list. Because in the last, like, few years or so, it's always, like, the third song.
Yeah. And did you notice that Ed completely fucks up?
No.
He comes in, he starts to sing too early.
Oh.
Yeah, you should go back and listen to it. He starts to sing too early and then stops himself. Then when he's supposed to come in, he comes in, like, wrong. And I think that fucked them up, because almost the whole first half of Low Light is sounds off.
I have to watch it again. When I was watching it, I was, like, trying my best to absorb every second, but I'll be honest and say that
it's quick. I mean, it's quick, but it is definitely, if you listen right at the very beginning, you know, I don't know if it's 4 bars or 8 bars. Like, he's supposed to come in at 8 bars. He comes in at 4 and then stops himself right away.
Yeah.
And then at 8 bars, when he's supposed to come in, he flubs it.
Oh, yeah. Despite popular belief, he cannot be perfect.
Yeah. All right. So what's next? Faithful.
He says something about having faith that it's all going to work out. Did he say that before, or does he say that in the song? I just wrote the quote. I didn't give it any context.
I can't remember if he's... I think you're right. I think he says, like... Doesn't he say something like, that song was about being safe, and this next one is about the same thing, or something like that?
I don't know.
No? Okay. Well,
go watch it and find out what he means.
Yeah, watch it. All right, we're done.
Moving on.
Now, Faithful is kind of not as fast as they play it these days. It's kind of like a laid back version of it. It's pretty cool.
It's probably to hear them, like, played at the normal speed.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I've seen that song live yet. I would love to see it.
It seems like the farther away they get from these songs, the faster they play.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So Low Light was only a few years earlier, so they were still playing it at its regular pace, I think. And someone throws a towel to Eddie, yep. And he catches it.
And he wipes his, daintily wipes his head and just throws it away like they fucking practiced it.
Yeah.
God damn it, Eddie. How come everything you do is flawless? It's not fair. Yeah,
he's just so cool.
He's so cool.
Short hair, long hair.
Doesn't matter.
He is fucking cool. I mean, I'm not, I'll take him any way I can get him.
Okay.
All right, so then we go into Wishlist. Mm-hmm. They bring down like a mirror ball.
Oh.
And it looks so fucking cool. Cause it's like that mirror ball effect is just like going throughout the whole crowd. Mm-hmm. Like it's really fucking sparkly, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, sparkly.
Yeah. But again, Ed messes up this too. He repeats like the, I wish I was as fortunate as me.
Yeah.
He says that twice in a row.
Oh.
Like, he just forgot
the lyrics. That's definitely one of those songs that's so easy to mess up the lyrics to.
Yeah.
He's saying the same shit over and over again. It's it's like that Alanis Morissette song about hands in the pocket. Hand in my pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is... Yeah.
Because I got one hand in my pocket. Yeah. And the other one's doing something, and you can never remember which one it's about to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and then he does the "Why can't I touch it?" tag at the back of it.
Yes, yes, yeah. That Ebo, he's doing that Ebo outro, like that stuff.
Yeah.
It sounds so cool.
Yeah,
yeah, and he does like a little speech.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like this he is says, proof. What is it? Proof that dreams come true.
There's proof that dreams can be a good thing.
Yeah, and then he starts singing the Buzzcocks song, mm-hmm. Why Can't I Touch It?
Yeah.
And he's like wanting the crowd, he's getting the crowd to like get into it.
Yeah.
Like the call and response thing. And the Buzz...
No, I was going to say he doesn't really do that with this song. So it's different.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as I know, I could be wrong.
But that's a Buzzcocks song, and they opened that night.
There's proof that dreams can be a good thing. After all, we played with the Buzzcocks tonight. And it feels so real, I can feel it. And it tastes so real, I can taste it. And it sounds so real, I can hear it. And it is so real, I can be it. But why can't I touch it? But why can't I touch it? Sing, New York, I know you want to. That's fucking beautiful.
All right, next we get Lucan, which is just, there's not much to say about Lucan. I will say this, the lyrics are actually kind of coherent.
Yeah.
Like he usually does this song so fast and it's just like.
And I think, song even faster, this version?
It's pretty intense. Yeah,
it's really fast. And the only note I wrote was like, I wish that they made more music like this. Like, why is Lucan the only song that they made like that?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what makes it so special, but
it could
I wish
be.
They had another Lucan.
Ed's playing a teal SG this time. Mm. I guess it's teal. I don't know if it's teal or if it's just the lighting. It's like a dark blue, but those SGs are just fucking fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then we go into Grievance. Mm-hmm. Fucking awesome.
It's a good one.
Love this song.
Is that the only binaural song they play?
Probably.
I think it is.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
At this point, I noticed a couple of things. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the camera angle or if they swapped it out, but Matt is playing a gigantic ride cymbal. Mm. Like, it is huge. And I don't know how I missed it. The other thing is, every time they look to, like, stage right, there's, like, an elderly woman just sitting
behind
there.
The counter in a small town?
Yes. No, that's me. and she's just kind of, like, gently rocking out.
I did not like notice any of these things. I should have watched it twice.
I see her, like, just, like, she's just kind of gently rocking out. And I don't know if she's, like, someone's mother, or if she just happens to be a fan, or if she's like an usher. I think she's wearing some sort of like VIP lanyard type thing, but it's just like, okay, that's not something you see at a rock show all the time, but I'm like, that's cool.
Old ladies can rock out too, man. That'll be me one day.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Here we go to Half Full, which is, you know, I like that song.
Mike is all over this fucking song. Because there's just little things in between the verses for him to play, you know?
And this is where Ed does the reflection on the crowd with his guitar.
Yeah.
God damn it. It's so cool that he does that.
I know. Yeah.
Ed's cool.
He is.
And he gets everybody. Like, that's just such a special feeling that he does that. I want to be at a show where he does that. And then he sees me and he's like, oh my God, wow. You, Kay Cotton? I know you. And I'm like, who, me? Get out of here, Ed.
Where is your tattoo? What is that called? Lower back?
It's my shoulder blade.
Shoulder calf.
Flash my shoulder calf.
Shoulder aisle.
Who, me? And then turn my back to him. Yeah. What? What's this? What? Ooh, how'd that get there? Jeez. Yeah, this is a weird. Right. This is a weird sequence right here. So we have Grievance to Half Full to Black to Spin the Black Circle.
Right. It's just like, that's what I'm saying. See, are you kind of seeing you picking up what I'm putting down?
Yeah, I'm smelling what you're stepping in.
The setlist sequence is all over the place. It's so up and down.
Yeah, I kind of like it, though. It's different.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yes.
Like I said, it's interesting.
Yeah. So Black, I mean, is Black. It's the greatest song ever written. Yada, yada, yada. And the crowd sing-along always gets to me. It always fucking makes me cry. It's, like, insane.
My thing, again, I'm repeating myself, but Mike fucking McCready. Mm-hmm. I mean, that solo, every time, that makes me cry. I mean, and there's, at one point, I don't know if you caught this, Eddie was, like, smoking on stage watching Mike.
Bad Ed.
Yeah. It's real quick.
Real quick.
But I caught him, yeah. Spin the Black Circle. I wrote this is what I wrote. What is this set list? Question mark. it's so like schizophrenic.
Yeah. He does say at the beginning that he wants to dedicate it to all the record stores in New York City because they're the best in the world. Daw.
Are they?
I don't know. I don't live in New York City.
Why don't you go? Why don't you go find some records in New York City?
Sure, I'll do that.
I'm sure there's.
I'm gonna be in Manhattan this weekend, so maybe I'll try to find some.
Oh, fancy! Mm-hmm. All right, then we get the set closing rearview mirror.
Yes, we do.
This song, I kind of noticed it. They sound really tight. It's real clean. Like there's not a lot of like fuzz or feedback on the guitars. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just sounds really like clear.
Yeah. It does. Know? And the build up that they, I think you said it earlier, the build up in between the, I don't even know what you would call that, that section of the song where they kind of just jam out for a little while.
Oh yeah.
Is forever. Yeah. I would be dying in that crowd. with that build up.
They really and it's just like dark. Mm-hmm. There's like a real low blue light. Yes.
And he's like barely like playing anything at one point.
Yeah, it's real like trippy like noise noise music, like noise rock. Yes. You know. It's music, Kate. They're playing music, Kate.
Is that what they were doing up there? Yeah. Oh, man, I feel silly that I didn't notice that.
Yeah. No, I meant like
noise, I know what you mean.
Rock music. And it's it's extended like way longer.
Yes.
But it's cool.
It just makes it so much, the end so much better.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. So then that closes the first set, right? They go off stage after that?
Yes. Yeah. Can I say real quick though, this really kind of blew my mind is that when they kick back in after that like jammy section, and Ed's doing the saw things, like they show a shot of the rail, and like these people are not like reacting at all. They're just kind of like standing there.
I noticed that too at one point. I'm like, who are these people?
Like, yeah, like come on, New York.
Yeah.
Like it's Pearl Jam and it's fucking rearview mirror, and like I just that
maybe
stuck
they
out
were just stunned.
I guess.
Only explanation.
They didn't know what was going on. I don't know. These days, those those rail people.
Yeah,
are
they're
nuts.
Crazy.
And it's I love it. All right, so then we get the first encore, which it starts with "You Are."
The best fucking song. I love this song.
It is so good. And what I was saying about the light show. Mm-hmm. Like, holy shit, they cranked it up to 11 with the
lights.
Yeah,
it picks up here.
It totally picks up. It is fucking so cool. Especially that, like, beginning part, that weird drum guitar loop thing.
Yep.
Yeah. I was going to try that, and I thought, I'm not going to do it, so I'm glad you did it. But yeah, during that part, they're playing like strobe lights and like all different colored lights. It's really fucking cool. And then throughout it, like pretty much goes throughout the whole song. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a good one.
All right, Thumbing My Way. Just, a little old Eddie Vedder and his little.
He's got to have his moments.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not much to say about it. I love that song.
It's all right.
Yeah.
All right. Then we go into Daughter.
Yes.
Which, the main part of Daughter, there's not much to say about it. But when they go into the shades go down, like the lights come down, and it is completely like fucking dark. And they're playing. And there's just this weird, like, spirally spotlight on Eddie. But then he starts kind of doing like a little speech about he's wanted the crowd to sing to him because his brothers are there, and he starts singing this With My Two Hands song, which is a Ben Harper song. And then Ben Harper comes
out
and starts singing.
Yeah.
Ben Hart.
Ben Harper singing with the crowd and with Eddie is amazing.
Like, could you imagine Ben Harper, like, being Ben Harper and Eddie wants you up there? And Ben Harper says at one point, he's just like looking at the crowd like, this is the greatest band in the world. And I'm like, they are the greatest band in the world. And he's singing up there and Ed's singing with him and the whole crowd is singing like, holy fuck, that's a lot. And then at the end, they like...
But they're singing your song.
Yes, his
like,
song. Harper,
and they're singing your song.
Oh my God, I would die.
Yeah, it's a really cool
And at the end, they just like... they don't just hug, they like embrace each other.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. I love it. It's a beautiful thing. Is that all you had to say about that one?
Yes.
So then we get Crown of Thorns next, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Which is always great. And
Anytime they play that stuff, it's pretty cool.
And he dedicates it. He really doesn't dedicate it to Andy, but he turns back to the band. He's like, I think I could speak for everyone here and say that Andy would have loved it here.
Yeah, because there's a lot of talk about how Andy was so, like, animated.
Yeah, like, every stage he performed on was the Garden.
Yeah, right, yeah.
It's sad.
So it's a pretty special moment. Mm-hmm. And then, even more special, we get... go ahead. I always say it wrong. Breath, yeah.
You do always say it wrong.
I always say breathe. Breath. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite fucking songs, and they fucking kill it. And this, if you watch the video, they there's a pretty cool shot of the band. They're like in a silhouette, it's like backlit. Like there's like some cool different lights behind them. I just think that's a cool shot. Like that could have been like the cover of the album was that shot.
Yeah. The only thing I wrote here is that he changed the lyrics to, I don't remember which part of the song, but he says something about seeing New York.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember what part of the song was?
I don't.
Doesn't matter.
And then we get Better Man, but right before that, he kind of like shouts out Stone, and they have, they like drink some wine together.
I like to see Stone engaging like that. And Jeff, too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Better Man? I mean...
Well, it's great because fucking in the entirety of Madison Square Garden is singing it back to him. And that moves me to my core a little bit. I wrote in my notes that New York sounds lovely. But you don't have much to say about it?
I mean, yeah, it's good. I don't have the emotional attachment.
Well, it's not even that it's New York. When the crowd sings back to him like that.
Yeah, that's true.
It's particularly with Black, because that song has such emotional depth to it that like knowing that every person who sings it back is like has once definitely felt that feeling in their life.
Right.
Fuck it, I'm done. I'm so done.
Yeah.
But Better Man is such a big, because that is such a huge song for them, and, you know, like, everybody could sing that song, and just the fact that I'm guaranteed every person in that room was able to sing it to him, and it's loud as hell. It just, it gets me. I don't know. You just gotta put yourself in Ed's shoes for a second and, like, hear that. But that's what I have to say about that. It's a classic.
Then we get Do the Evolution, which, again, I mean, I watch this a lot because the lights go down in between Better Man and Do the Evolution. And when they start playing it, I mean, almost as soon as Eddie starts singing, if you watch like, I'm telling, I don't know if you did, but like, I'm telling everybody, go back and watch this performance and watch these guys' reaction, because they are totally fucking confused. They're playing, but they're looking around, they're looking at each other, and they don't, Ed's looking up in the air, and at one point he like kneels down and is touching the stage. Wow.
And I gotta like, watch this again when I go back, or when I'm done with this.
It is fucking fascinating to watch, knowing that something's going on, but they don't know what it is. And they're looking around, and they're looking at each other like, what the fuck do we do? Like, A, what's happening right now?
Maybe they thought the earthquake was going on.
Well, I think Eddie alludes to, like, 9/11.
He does?
And, like, kind of. He just alludes to the fact that, like, we're here in New York, and we didn't know what was going on. And this is our first time being back here. And I really think he didn't want to just run off stage and cause a panic. But at the same time, he is like, what the fuck is
happening? Yeah, he did say when he comes back, he said it scared the fuck out of us.
Yeah.
I gotta watch it again.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about the 9/11 thing, but I just, whatever he said,
like, stuck in my mind. I could see why that would have been, like, an assumption on your part, because he kept emphasizing, we really thought something was happening just now, or something happened just now, and but then he goes and explains that only three other artists that's happened for, and it was...
Well, yeah, what happens is the song ends, they run off stage, and Eddie comes back and says,
the best, like, is he has a cigarette. Right at this point, right. He's probably like, I need to chill the fuck out.
Yeah, he's so nervous, ball of fucking nerves. But he explains that what happened was that the crowd was going so crazy that the stage started bouncing. And again, like, when you go back and watch it, try and look at, like, the mic stands.
I can't wait. I, like, want to go watch it right now. You can see
shit moving and shaking. And, Eddie changes the lyrics. When he says, I'm a thief, I'm a liar, the stage is bouncing. He like, sings.
He does?
I didn't miss
all of this. Oh man, I was not in tune with.
I think that's when he's kneeling down. He's like touching the stage. I can't remember if that's the same point, but he's like, well, I'm a thief, I'm a liar, this stage is bouncing. Something like, it's like what he sings those words. It's insane. But yeah, he's explaining that it's only happened at three other times. Mm-hmm. The Grateful Dead. And then he says Iron Maiden, and Mike starts playing Iron Maiden riff. It's so cool. And then Bruce Springsteen and everyone's go crazy. So maybe Brad can put in that speech right here.
I need to tell you, something happened during that last song, and we've... we played here before. We've had a couple good ones, maybe one that... we wanted to make better. There was one the last time. It was a Ralph Nader benefit that many of you came to fill up the place. And maybe we'll have to do that again someday, but... I'll just tell you, there was something happened just now, it's easy for us to get freaked out because we want everything to be safe, but the stage was bumping up and down like... And I just want to tell you this, because it's a credit to you more than us, but I was just told that it's only bounced that like that for a few other people, and they were... Grateful Dead, Iron Maiden. And Bruce Springsteen, and we're really proud to be part of that. Proud to be part of that little group there, but I gotta tell you, scared the fuck out of us.
It's pretty cool to see Boom doing his thing.
Yeah.
And then Mike kind of trade like solos, mm-hmm. you know. All right, well, then we get Indifference. Mm-hmm.
Such Ben a good Harper version
again. Yeah, this is incredible. So incredible.
And Ben seems kind of nervous. I don't know if he's nervous or if he's like he's supposed to start and then he backs up again and then his eyes are closed and his hands are in front of his face. I actually thought he was going to start playing a harmonica, but it wasn't.
It's super intense.
He seems like he's like really trying to feed off of or like be really present in the moment or, you know. Mm. But yeah, it's a fucking awesome version of this song.
Yeah, it's really good. All right, and then we get to like this is the end mm-hmm. of the night and we're gonna go fucking crazy and they play Sonic
Yeah, but
Producer.
Before they go into that, I love what Ed said. He's so we're gonna continue. It's gonna cost us $14,000. But he said something like, "You've made us rich motherfuckers," so
Yeah.
So we're gonna do it.
Yeah, doesn't he say like we're here, so let's do it anyway? Yeah. Something like that. Like we're all here. Yeah, and he brings out the bass player from mm-hmm. the Buzzcocks, Tony Barber. A Sonic Reducer. Sounds mm-hmm. great. Do you like Sonic Reducer?
Are you gonna put me on the spot while I'm on the show?
Well, I know I'm trying to think. I couldn't remember if it's you or Clint that doesn't like this song. I'm pretty sure Lions is one of his favorite songs.
It's not one of my favorites.
Ooh.
I know. And I know. God. Like, I genuinely can't believe that I'm, like, one of the only people that feels that way. I don't hate it. I don't.
I think you had to be there. For some reason, you millennials that weren't around when Sonic Reducer dropped.
Yeah, I think so.
For some reason, you guys don't like it. Me and Lions
love it. It's not that I don't like it. I just don't. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything for me. Yeah. Like, I think the chorus is very like repetitive and like it's like it sounds kind of cheesy to me. Oh my god, I'm gonna get so much shit for this. I'm not gonna survive. I'm not because I know people love it. People love this song, and I love that they love it. And because people love it so much, it makes me love it more. But I'm not going to go to a Pearl Jam show and think, oh, man, I want to see Sonic Reducer tonight. Like, that's never going to happen for me. I'm sorry.
Well, I really think, again, and I'm not saying it, like, facetiously. Like, you had to be there because Sonic Reducer was one of, I want to say it's on the very first 10 Club
Yeah, I think
single,
it was.
But maybe it's the first or mm-hmm. second one. So that was like, okay, everyone knows 10. And we love it. And then, like, the next thing we get is Sonic Reducer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that's why people from the beginning love it so much. But, yeah, it sounds great here. They're not playing it
super
fast. This
is the other song that Stone does a solo on.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Sonic Reducer.
Yeah.
Cool.
He says something about Good Charlotte at the end.
Yeah. That is...
He says, if the Buzzcocks didn't exist, we would have ended up like Good Charlotte. And he's like, no, not that it's a bad thing. It's just music that tastes like a popsicle shoved up somebody's ass.
And he says, everybody, like, hey, some people might be into that.
Like, okay, Ed. How many bottles of wine have you had?
All right, we'll do, before we start this next one... again, for the Buzzcocks. That was Tony. And If it weren't for the Buzzcocks, who knows, we might sound like Good Charlotte or something that sounds like... Oh, they're good. It just sounds like... It sounds like... Well, it tastes like a popsicle that's been stuck up somebody's ass. But that's my opinion. Some people are into that. Who am I to say? But just to say that Buzzcocks were a huge influence on us, and to play with them tonight, obviously, it's a huge honor, and to have them play here means a lot. So Mr. Steve Diggle on guitar. We send this out to John Entwistle, Pete Townsend, John, who we miss. Pete, you're still the greatest.
You know what's crazy?
What's crazy?
On the DVD, that is edited out.
Oh, is it really?
It's just the words Good Charlotte are dropped. So Eddie is like, you know, if it wasn't for the Buzzcocks, I don't know, we might sound like... Well, no, they're good.
Wow.
It's, you know, it just sounds like a popsicle, or it sounds like shoving a popsicle up your ass. Like, I'm like, because I'm like, I know I've heard him say the name of the band before. And I had to go onto Apple Music and find the bootleg and listen to it.
Wow, that's interesting.
Because I'm like, did they edit it?
That's definitely copyright stuff.
I couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. It's gotta be. But that's that's pretty funny. So then we get Baba O'Reilly with the singer from the Buzzcocks, Steve Diggle.
What's his last name?
Diggle.
Diggle? With a D.
Diggle.
I think that needs to be your last name. Vlad Diggle. Vlad. That's because it's your Instagram name. That's why I called you Vlad.
Yes, I should change to Vlad Diggle. I think we lost Kate Cotton.
Oh no!
Over snorting. Vlad Diggle with you. We're gonna hear from the Buzzcocks. There's their cover of Baba O'Reilly with Eddie Vedder.
I think boy. I might start.
What's that?
I hope the mic didn't pick it up.
Oh, I hope it did.
Help me. Oh, we have what? We have right, two more. I can do it. I can make it.
Yeah. Baba O'Reilly is... God, I go back and forth between Baba and...
No, Rock Baba is world. Easily superior in my Baba. World. Yeah. It's just that song, because I loved that song before. I loved Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
So much. And to hear Pearl Jam play it, and the part when the crowd sings, it's like,
suddenly teenage.
And then he screams. Oh my God, I have chills right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I get tears in my eyes from those power chords. when those power chords come in, I'm fucking, I'm a mess. So, yeah, it sounds awesome here.
Yeah, and that Baba into Yellow Ledbetter combination.
Yeah, I wonder if the band thought they were done, because, like, Jeff and Stone, like, walk off the stage. Matt comes from behind his kit and is, like, you know, hugging Eddie. And then they kind of look at Mike, and he starts kind of noodling around. And then, like, Jeff comes back out, and he's got this big grin on his face. I get the feeling that they thought
they do
they
that
were
all
done.
The time.
And Mike was,
I know.
I just was like, Mike's like, nah, motherfuckers.
I'm having my moment.
Come back.
That's the only note I wrote is Mike is the shit. And that was, like, the moral of this story is that Mike McCready is the greatest thing that ever happened.
Yeah. Oh, he is the best. I do. I love him so much. I could watch the worst show and just love his stuff.
He's the best. Oh my god, we did it. We made it. I only had one mental breakdown.
Yeah.
Only one. I'm proud of myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to go watch this do the evolution clip.
Oh, it's
I'm ready to do it.
It's very interesting.
Very interesting. All right.
Well, I think we're done.
I'd love to hear what some people have to say about it if they were there. Oh my god. If they were there, yeah. Maybe you live close to me and then we could be friends. I need friends. I need friends there on Long Island who love Pearl Jam.
Oh, I'm sure there's... You've talked to some people. I've seen you... Yeah, did you ever go to that food truck?
No, I haven't. I've been meaning to, though. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, wasn't there a bunch of people you were talking to on there? Isn't Matt Raymond?
Who?
Doesn't he live up there? The Live on Four Legs, one of the dudes, Matt and
Oh,
Matt
maybe.
Randy.
I have no idea.
Yeah, Matt was... You were talking, I thought, to Matt on that thread, on that Facebook thread.
I was not
thread.
Talking to anyone on that Facebook thread, except for you.
What?
Maybe you dreamed about it. We can discuss this later. Anyway, but yeah, I'd love to hear from people who were there or, like, have an opinion on...
Yeah, let me know if I'm wrong about the flow state of the set list.
Or maybe you're right and I'm wrong, because you were starting to convince me there for a minute. For once. That doesn't happen often.
Yeah, I know. I rarely get that reaction. So, yeah, well, hit us up on the socials. Send us an email on the singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. Instagram, Twitters, there's a Facebook page. And what else?
Just Patreon if you want to support. Yeah.
The show. You just got to.
Well, they know what I mean.
All right.
Anyway.
All right. Well, what do you got anything else?
No.
Kate Cotton, I'm going to say thank you for helping us out.
Sure, it is more than my pleasure. And I'm going to say thank you for having me because I love doing it and I love talking to you and I love talking to Lions. So anytime.
Well, thank you. And you're welcome.
All right. Well, I'm all set if you're all set. Okay.
I am. I'm just waiting for you to
say that's right. I have to do it because you do the outro. I'm sorry. I'm confused.
That's all right.
until you're next new. Time, this has been Single Kate Theory with Kate Cotton.
And I'm Brad Blazek saying, where's Brad Lyons? My God, he's been ate.
All right. Bye, everybody.
All right. Later. Be good.
I died and you walked by and said, no, I'm dead.
That was fine. Fuck yeah.